The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Villanique.
And I'm Sylvia.
Welcome to the High Vibes and the Mic podcast,
where multicultural moms connect.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the show. This is Veronique on High Vibes and a Mic. Sylvia is on vacation in Ireland, getting some well-deserved family time. Today, I talked to Joyce. She is a professional organizer since 1994 and coach. Her background is in holistic health since 2011. She views helping individuals declutter and organize as part of holistic health. Her unique take on the 7 different types of clutter most people have and helping them find their organizing personality sets her apart from other organizers. Joyce helps individuals in Southeast Louisiana one-on-one in their home. She also does virtual coaching for those outside of her area. So let's talk to Joyce. Hi, Joyce. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. Thank you very much. I'm very excited to talk to you because I think what you're doing have a little problem. Maybe you can help me, you know, with that. So my first question would be, why do you think people have this tendency of, you know, to have clutter? Can it be just a lack of organization, or is it maybe we just have too much stuff?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. I think one reason is the media. You know, we're pushed to buy.
Yes.
Where, you know, our society tells us that, like, if you have this, you have that, you know, then it's a status symbol. And, you know, people are going to think more highly of you. I think that's a part of it. The other thing is that, oh, my gosh, that sweater's on sale. I want that sweater. So sales, they trip us up. You know,
yes.
I don't really need that sweater. I have enough sweaters. But because it's on sale, it's like, yes, you know, buy one, get one free.
Yes, that works very well.
And then you go to events and they've got these little handouts. My husband and I went to a local event and everybody that was there had something they were giving away. Well, he took it all. We ended up with like 8 Huggies, like 5 of these nylon backpacks. I don't know how many pens. And I'm like, why did you do this? And he's like, I don't know. They were giving it away, you know? So
yeah,
we fall for these traps.
Oh my God. Yeah. So easily. I mean, my big issue for me personally is just my living room table is always full of stuff. I always clean every week. I clean it. And at the end of the week, it's always full of papers and everybody just puts stuff in there. From your experience, what are the most common challenges that people face when they try to declutter? And how do you help, to declutter, to remove everything?
Sentimental.
Oh, sentimental? Yeah.
So I just tell them, take a picture of it, create a file for it, you know, make a notation below it to say, you know, was great Aunt Ruth, you know, China. That, you know, she got for her wedding anniversary or whatever it might be, something that you can associate with it. This way you're keeping the picture along with the memory, but you're getting rid of the stuff. And as for you, what you need on that table, you need some kind of decorative container, like a basket or something, where when people come in, they could throw the stuff in the basket. And this way, like at the end of the day, you can go ahead and put stuff where it belongs, or say, hey, so-and-so, this is yours. Come and get it. Put it back where it belongs.
I know. Every time I'm trying to say, especially with my kids, you know, this is yours. Put it away. The basket, yeah, I tried the basket, but that's something. I always have to clean it, right? So at the end, you just leave it there, and at the end of the week, it's always looks like a mess. But so, can you describe your process for when you evaluate which item you know we want to keep, donate, disregard? Do you have like certain criteria that you use to make these kind of decisions?
No, because every client is different.
It's different, yeah.
Yeah, everybody's different. So I had one client, we were decluttering her closet, and she was actually doing a really good job. She was getting rid of a bunch of her capris, and she was like, well, these are white. Do I have a white pair in there? No. Okay, well, let's keep them. You know, so she was doing really good with being able to go, I already have a white pair. I don't need another white pair. You know?
Okay.
So every client is unique and different because they're their own person.
So I was reading on your website that you were explaining the damages that having a lot of clutter can do to your life.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit what it can do? You know, you are talking about damage it can do to your health, mental, physical. Can you tell our listener a little bit about that? Because some people might not realize.
Right. Before I go into that, what I want to do is explain what clutter is, because a lot of people think that clutter is just having stuff laying all around. You can't walk anywhere. You can't do anything. And that's not what clutter is. Clutter is anything that you have in your home that is not serving you in the season of your life. If you're not using it, it's clutter. So to address your question, so physically, clutter tends to create dust, and dust is not healthy for us. Another thing that clutter can do, depending upon how bad it is it could be a tripping hazard.
Yeah.
So physically, those are two things that stick out. Mentally, it's stressful because it causes anxiety. It puts pressure on your relationships with your children, with your spouse. You know, we don't want to have people come to our house because our house is cluttered. And then you have the financial. So people have things, but because they're not organized, they don't know where to find it. So they go out and they buy another one. So now I've got five pairs of scissors where I really only need one, but because I couldn't find them, you know, then you have the problem with bills. If you're not organized, then financially, you with a bill, you're having to pay a late charge because you couldn't find that bill. You know, or you might, if your kitchen is too cluttered and you have no place to cook on your counters, you might go out to eat more often. So these are different ways that clutter has a negative impact on our lives. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make is getting a storage unit.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest mistakes. Because you have stuff. We have stuff because we like it, because it makes us happy. How can something make you happy if you're storing it in a storage unit and you can't even see it or use it? It's a waste of money. You know what? Quit spending $1,000 on a storage unit per year. It's just a waste.
I think because people think, are we going to use it later? Or if I need it, you know, one day, it's still there. Or you're always thinking that you're going to lose it later. It's like keeping that dress that, you know, you don't fit in it. And you think that, you know, in 3 months or in a year, you're going to fit in it.
Right.
And you're keeping it.
Yeah, we tend to do that. Well, what I tell people is that when it comes to, like, getting rid of stuff, that's you know, there's different types of clutter. So the clutter that you talk about, we call it maybe one day clutter.
Mm-hmm.
That, and then with the clothes, you know, that could be your fantasy self. But what we need to do with these things is to realize that they can be replaced. Can I borrow it from somebody? Can I replace it for $20 or less? You know, and that makes it a lot easier for people to let things go rather than thinking that they have to keep it. Another thing I tell my clients to do is, okay, you're not sure you want to get rid of it? We create a maybe box.
Okay.
Take the maybe box, you put anything in there that you think you might want to use one day, put it all in the box, mark the date on it, and then a month from that date, go back. And if you have not taken anything out of the box or even thought about the box, don't open it, just donate it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have like three boxes like that, you know, that you keep in the garage.
You only have one maybe box.
Much stuff. And yeah, you forget about it. And I think the good thing is when you move out, you think you're like, okay, I'm not going to bring that with me on the next apartment. That's a good time to get rid of a lot of stuff. But between, you know, if it doesn't happen, it's just stay there and nothing is happening. Right. Can you provide maybe like example? So you have that example you just gave us. Do you have any example like of organizational system or tools, you know, that we can use that efficient?
There's different organizing personalities.
Okay.
So for me, I don't like clutter. Everything has to have a place. So, and when I'm done using it, I put it back right away. Mm-hmm. Then you have the other person who you walk into their house is all nice and tidy and clean and neat, but don't open up a door or a drawer because it's overflowing with stuff.
Yes.
Then you have the people who are very visual. They like to see their stuff. They want to see what they have. And then you have the people who they're also visual, but they'll tend to have their clothes laying out on the floor or on top of the dresser or on a chair because they need open storage. Go ahead and take the door off your closet and have it open storage. You know, and our society dictates so much of how we're supposed to do things that, you know, it's okay if you want to go ahead and get a decorative basket or bin and just throw your underwear in there, throw your bras in there, throw your leggings in there. They don't wrinkle, you know, throw your socks in there and just have it open so you could just go ahead and take it out. But once again, our society dictates that we have to have a dresser, we have to have a closet, you know, there has to be doors, things have to be closed. And that's not the case. Some people do very well having open storage, you know, especially children. Children work really good with open storage, but they do. But with open storage for them, you know, like clear containers with like labels on them. And like for the younger children, you can actually get the pictures. Amazon has them. Okay. Or it has a picture of what's in there for smaller kids. And then what, like their books, organize them by color because it's easier for them to put it back. Okay, this is blue. It goes with the blue books.
You know, okay.
They think it needs to be easy. And with children, I always say you need to pick out two or three things and then give them a choice of which one they want. Because when children have a say in something, they're more apt to use that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sorry, that's something I experienced because I have a 2-year-old and at the beginning, we just left all the toys after reach.
That's perfect. What you do with a 2-year-old is like you buy them like a toy shopping cart, like a little toy wagon or something, and you have them go around the house and pick up all their toys and put it in it and then take it to their room.
Yeah,
you have to make it fun. It has to be, make it a game. You know, tell them to put their toys away acting like a dinosaur or hopping on one foot.
Yeah, I mean, she's going to, I mean, she has a little trolley like that she can use, you know, like she used, like she's doing her grocery shopping. Uh-huh. But it's more than she arriving, you know, at the end of the day, she just take everything, all the little basket that I have for her, she just throw them on the floor. And I'm the one who has to pick it up at the end of the day. And I'm like,
How are they stored?
They're in baskets. We have different baskets, and I have an 11-year-old who set up a little library for her on the other side with the books and everything. It's very well done, but that little 2-year-old is she's a little destroyer. She likes everything on the floor. Maybe she's a visual, like you said. She's a visual person. She likes to see everything on the open.
Right.
So my husband is more like, let's remove some, maybe there's too many toys. Let's remove some toys and just let her play with some of them. So that's what we're doing right now.
You know, just like we get overwhelmed by clutter, children also get overwhelmed by clutter.
Yeah.
And they do, they did a study where they had a group of kids come in and they had like maybe seven to 10 toys to play with. And that was it. And then later on, they had like 20 toys to play with. And they did better playing with less toys. And, you know, and they'll use their imagination more. Give them a cardboard box. You know, stuff that they can get creative with. You know, they'll stay busy with the box. Believe me. I've raised three of them.
Yeah, you know, we didn't have any all of those toys when we were little. So right? It's almost the same, right? What would be the worst case of a clutter that you've witnessed? Do you have something that comes to your mind? You were like, oh my God, yes, this person really needed my help.
I do have one client that she still needs my help. She has way too much stuff. I mean, her house is organized and it's neat, but she just has too much stuff. She's got a lot of stuff in the garage. You know, she had lived in a bigger house and then she downsized. But she didn't downsize what she was bringing to her new home. So, and it's like the furniture that she has is it's big. And it takes up a lot of room. And she would have a lot more room in that house if she would just go ahead and get rid of this big clunky furniture that she has that is really not necessary to begin with and purchase something smaller. So she's been the worst. Not only that, but it was funny because the first time that I went over there to help her, we were working in her spare bedroom. And anytime that I would find something, or we would find something that belonged somewhere else, she would go out of the room to put it back. And then she would bring something else back into the room. So I told her, I said, we're not doing this. It's going to take forever if we keep doing this. There was a sofa in the room, so I said, anything that does not belong in here, we're just going to put it on that sofa. And then when I leave, you can go ahead and put it where it belongs. So, but she was driving me crazy.
Maybe a lot of those items also are sentimental, you know, like we talked earlier, and she doesn't want to get rid of them. It really reminds me, my mother had the same issue. She had a big house, and she downsized 2 years ago to an apartment. And it was hard. Like, she mentally didn't want to get rid of anything. We couldn't even open the door. Oh, we opened the door. We had like a furniture in front of me. It was really hard. And me and my brother, we had to talk to her. And we're like, you have to sell some stuff. It's impossible. I mean, you're not going to go back to a big house. So you have. And finally she did, but it took like a year for her to realize, you know, she had to downgrade, like get rid of a lot of stuff. And like you say, it's not good for your health. Definitely. No, mental. Not.
Right, right. You know, two mistakes I see people make is that, first off, they want to organize clutter. You can't organize clutter.
That's a good one. Organize clutter.
You can't. You can't organize clutter. You have to declutter first, and then you organize.
Organize. Yeah, exactly.
And then the second thing, and I have had multiple clients who have moved from another house into a new house, and they didn't declutter before they moved.
Yeah.
So it's like if you are moving, declutter while you are packing up.
Yeah.
Get rid of the stuff. And we want to organize for the space that we have, not for the stuff that we have. So I watched a video the other day of somebody who was moving. And what they did was they were able to purchase a set of boxes. They were a variety of sizes. And she said that all I am taking with me is whatever fits into these boxes.
Yeah.
If it don't fit in these boxes, it's not going.
That's a good solution. If it doesn't fit, you know, it's not coming. Right. Yeah.
And then we got to follow the one in, two out rule. So if I go ahead and I buy a new towel, I need to get rid of two towels.
My biggest issue is I don't know where, sometimes like you said earlier, I don't know where something is.
kitchen or bathroom and whatever, and I buy it again. And then 3 months later, or 3 weeks later, I find the original one I was looking for, and I have 2 bottle opener or 5 whatever, you know, that I didn't need. And yeah, it's coming, it's becoming, it's just accumulating in the kitchen. It's a nightmare. So maybe I need more boxes, you know, in the kitchen also. I think I need more boxes in the kitchen because the kitchen is, it's getting crazy, I think.
Well, the thing is, too, is that, you know, once again, we're programmed that we're supposed to do things a certain way. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's not true. It's like, okay, I've got vitamins and I got medication, so I'm going to put them in the bathroom because that's what people do. I don't. I keep my vitamins in my kitchen because I take them at night.
Me too.
And I'm in the kitchen and my glass is right there. So I take them. All my vitamins, my supplements are all in the kitchen. I know of another organizer. She had all her daughter's hair accessories in her kitchen because it was easier for her to do her daughter's hair while she was sitting eating breakfast.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, so we need to put things where it makes sense to us. Even if it doesn't make sense to anybody else, as long as it makes sense to us.
Yeah. We have to deprogram ourselves. From what the society told us, no, this is what this is going, and this is, that's what's going. Because, like you say, everybody, every family is different, right?
Right. well, that's why if you had like multiple people in a family, the open containers work good with labels on them. You know, either the words in the picture or just the picture for young kids, whatever. But I would do the picture with the word because it's also going to teach them how to read.
Mm. Yeah. I never did that for my first one. Yeah, I might do that for my, I will do that for my second one. That's a very good idea. Definitely. Never thought about that. And usually, so when you work with people for a little while, then you let them go. You're like, okay, you're good. You're ready. Do you think they continue to apply? I don't know if you know. They continue to apply that, you know, for a long time. Or they just go back to the old habits?
Well, you know, see, that's why it's important for us to figure out our organizing personality. Because mm-hmm. once we have our organizing personality, then I can implement some steps for each of the 4 organizing personalities. That, like the person who, you know, has a clean, spotless house but shoves everything into drawers and closets, that person needs to go through their house once a month and gather up 21 things to get rid of.
Oh my God! Yeah.
To avoid the clutter. Plus, once you have a system in place that works for you and your needs, it's easier for you to maintain. So then you don't have to keep calling me and saying, oh, Joyce, you have to come back again. It's a disaster. It's a big mess.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you have your own organization and you see it's working, you're going to keep doing it, I guess. And, you know, feel better also mentally. Because it's true, when I come home and I see it's a mess, I don't want to do anything. I feel tired. I just want to sit on the couch and do nothing. But when I come home, it's all cleaned up. I have more energy. I want to do other stuff. I have more, you know, I'm more positive and everything. So I saw on your website something that talked to me because I have kids and I have a babysitter. Can you tell about our listener about your family manual? Oh, well, that's something I'm going to use, I think.
The family manual, I developed that for so that if you have a babysitter coming into your house or, you know, God forbid there's an emergency where you and your husband end up in a car wreck and somebody has to come in that doesn't really know the family, you got this manual that has everything in it about everybody in the household. So, you know, Joey eats at this time. He's allergic to these foods. He takes this medication at this time. You know, what's his morning routine? What's his afternoon routine? What's his evening routine? So that all that information is there. And then there's also things in there for in case there's emergencies while you're gone. So where's the flashlight? Where's the candles? Where's the fire extinguisher? Where's your first aid kit? You know, these things that we need to know. And then there's also a section for pets. So if somebody has pets, you know, again, what kind of allergies do they have? What kind of foods do they like? You know, we're talking with the kids about their hobbies, what kind of movies they like to watch, if you're tending to an adult, then the same with them. What kind of medications are they taking? You know, what kind of entertainment do they like? What do they like to watch? What do they like to listen to? You know, so it gives a brief rundown. And then there's also emergency numbers. So there would be, you know, the crying adults in that household, their phone number, and then a doctor's phone number and any other contacts that you might want to add. So it comes as a PDF, mm-hmm. and you print it out, and then you go and you get the page protectors. They're like plastic.
Oh, yeah.
You put into a binder. So you put that in there. This way it stays all safe. You get a binder, and then you take the cover for the binder. If you get a binder that has the plastic where it's open so you could slide it in the cover mm-hmm. for it, get one of those. And then just have it somewhere so that, you know, you can tell them, look, this is where it's at.
Okay.
Go get it.
Yeah, this is great because sometimes we go out with my husband and we're driving away and I'm like, wait, we didn't even tell her where we were going tonight. Because we're still used to the babysitter to come home. And I'm like, she doesn't even know where we're going. If something happened, she doesn't even know where we are. So that's something I'm going to do, definitely, because like, we need to do something.
Well, and it's nice too because you don't have to sit there and give the rundown that Joey has these allergies. Penny takes this kind of medication. You know, Timmy's got a fever today and has, you know, this medication. And so I sit there and ramble everything off. Everything's written down in one place for them to easily access.
Yeah. Just for people to make the difference, having clutter in your house is not being a hoarder. A hoarder is something else, right?
Yes.
I think it's a totally different issue.
Yeah. And people who hoard are usually suffering from trauma.
Okay. All right.
It's some kind of trauma. That's why they're holding on. I have one of my clients, her stepfather is becoming a hoarder. And mm-hmm. what had happened to him was he wasn't like that until his son went to prison. Once his son went to prison, then he started hoarding stuff. And then it also didn't help that he was a young child during the Depression. So when we go through trauma, then we feel like we've got to hold on to stuff because what if this happens again? You know, and that's like with anything. My sons moved to West Virginia 3 years ago, and my son had his van and he was towing the U-Haul behind. And he was going up hills and his van started to overheat. So he called my husband and asked him what to do. And he told him because I forget what the speed limit was, but he was doing like 10, 20 under the speed limit and people were not happy with him.
Mm.
So finally, my husband told him what to do. He did it and he was able to get his vehicle up to speed. Well, he stayed in West Virginia because he doesn't want to go back down those mountains.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I can imagine.
Him and my youngest son, they were roommates with some other people. Well, everybody else has left West Virginia except for my one son who stayed there.
So you mean he's not going to leave ever? He's still over there?
No, he is. I talked to him yesterday. We were talking about it. And he had said that, you know, he didn't want to leave because he had to go back down the mountain. But my daughter, she's a truck driver.
Okay, here you go.
She had told him that when he's ready, she will go to West Virginia and get a U-Haul so they can tow his van down the mountains.
There's no other way to leave this area? You have to go through the mountains. Yeah, I completely understand. I mean, I'm not a good driver either. I don't know if I could do it either, but yeah, I think it's traumatic.
Well, he had no idea what he was in for.
Yeah.
You know, he had no idea. So, you know, that another example was like, I was a vendor. I had another business and I was a vendor at doing events and at farmers markets. And one time a big rain came out of nowhere and the wind took my tent and flipped it over to the there was a little fence there, flipped it over the fence. It looked like a dead spider. You know how spiders are all like,
oh my God. Yes.
That's what my tent looked like. So after that, anytime the weather would get rough, I would freak out.
Mm.
You know, so, you know, and that happens with us. You know, it's like, this was a bad experience.
Yeah. And you don't want to go back there.
So that's what hoarders, they have gone through something. And okay. They are using stuff to comfort them, to help them deal with it. So yeah, hoarding is totally different than just having clutter.
Okay.
The majority of people have clutter. I would say probably the only ones these days who doesn't have clutter, and they probably have some, are the minimalists.
Yes, yes. We actually might do an episode on this. The opposite, you know, the minimalist. Yeah, that's really... Is that something new? It looks like it's a trend.
I would say it's been around for like maybe 5 or 10 years now.
Okay, so fairly new. Mm-hmm.
People just choosing to live with less stuff, kind of like the tiny house movement.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
You know, just less is more.
Yeah, in some cases, you know, that's not too bad. What kind of services do you offer to people if people want to contact you? And do you do everything online? Do you go to, I guess you go into people's houses? Because you talked earlier about this lady you're helping. So, or do you also offer like online programs and you can just tell them, you know, what to do?
Yes. I'm in Southeast Louisiana. So I have 3 parishes that I will go to your house if you're in the 3 parishes that I serve in Southeast Louisiana. And then I also have a coaching program for people who, you know, can't work with me live. And we are also starting a membership program that we will walk you through the different types of clutter that people have. So like passive, guilty clutter, future self, identity clutter. We'll walk you through that. We'll tell you how you can really give you suggestions for dealing with it. We will then help you discover your organizing personality. We will suggest products for your specific organizing personality and tell you the steps that you need to take to maintain it so that you don't end up with clutter again.
Okay.
So then that is scheduled to launch at the end of this month. And if anybody wants more information or you want to get on the waiting list, my website is try-parish-decluttering-services.
Yes.
The membership is going to, it has its own website and it's called balancedandorganized.com.
Okay.
So if you're interested in the membership, you can go there. You can find more information about it and also sign up so that when we go live, you will get we will be offering a early registration discount.
Okay.
So you might want to get on that. And you might also, you want to go ahead and sign up for the newsletter or be on the waiting list, or you can go to try-parish decluttering services, sign up for my newsletter there. I will be also announcing it.
Okay. Before you go, just a question, you know, I was wondering myself, how did you start this, you know, how did you have the idea to start that business? Because it's not everybody, you know, want to have people getting rid of their clutter. So did you think, oh, you know, there's something to do there. A lot of people have this problem.
Well, first off, most of the people in this industry were just gifted. We had this ability to be able to declutter and to organize. So that was a part of it. But my background since 2010 has been holistic health.
Okay.
And this is holistic health. You know, I enjoy helping people to have a better quality of life. So that's, and it's something I enjoy doing. I enjoy doing it. I like doing it. I was getting burnt out on my other business and decided I needed to change the pace.
And I'm sure it's really rewarding. Definitely.
Totally. It's very rewarding, you know. And we have a Facebook group called Decluttering and Organizing Tips and Tricks. it's not the word and, it's the symbol and. And right now we're over 340,000.
Oh, wow. A lot of people are interested in that, right?
It's something, because I'll see comments and be like, oh my gosh, I had no idea so many people were dealing with the same thing I'm dealing with.
No, yeah, I was going to say it's a worldwide issue. Definitely. We have so many stuff. I'm not surprised. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to add that maybe I didn't ask you, that you want to tell our listeners?
Oh, go to my website, try-peerishdecluttering-services.com, and I have some free PDFs.
Okay.
If you click on the resources, I've got, I think, like 3 or 4 free decluttering. They're not very long, they're just basic. Like the one is how to start decluttering. And that was a question that kept coming up in the group, and I kept typing the same thing over and over and over again. Yeah. So I went, forget this, I'm going to create a PDF, and just when somebody says, I don't know, you know, where to start, okay, go get the PDF. And then there's one for motivation, because that's something else that people have a hard time dealing with, is motivation. And then there's the ultimate decluttering routine.
Yeah, sometimes
it's just like 7 steps, you know, that people can do. And they're also going to want to keep an eye out, too, because I created a decluttering and organizing deck of cards.
Oh, okay.
And does this work? I'm looking to release that right now. I'm looking for a publisher.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's good that you give the step, because sometimes you don't know where to start. You just look at that and you're like, what am I going to do? Just take the whole thing and throw it away.
I've heard people say that.
And it's also so satisfying when it's done, right? When everything's clean and organized, you're like, I can finally breathe. So,
I hear a lot in the group of people saying, you know, it's so freeing. And somebody the other day said they were addicted. I didn't know this was so addicting.
To organize.
Well, they're addicted to getting rid of the stuff.
Yeah. You know,
that they're having a good feeling that the stuff is out of their house, and they're donating it to somebody else who can use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we just did that with our guest room. Yeah, we just did that with our guest room bed. We're like, okay, let's get rid of this. And we donated it. Like, we don't need this big bed in the guest room. It's going to be an office or something. And we just give it away. Because nobody's using it, really. So.
Right.
I also hear something, I resonate also with what you said on your website when you said that sometimes you don't want to have people over because there's so much clutter in your house that you don't want to have your friends over. That happens to me. I'm like, oh my God. But anyway, Joyce, thank you very much for coming. I'm so happy we talked, because that's really a topic that really that's really close, you know, to home for me personally. I have a lot of work to do for organizing stuff. And I'm very happy about everything you say about the tips. And I'm sure listeners are going to be very happy, you know, to have more information. And like I say, you know, I'm going to put everything in the show notes and they can contact you if they need help.
Well, and come by and join the Facebook group.
And the Facebook group, yeah. Yeah, I would put also those information, definitely. 300,000 people, you said, are in there?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And it grows by 1,000 every day.
Every day, wow. Yeah. Day. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Okay, thank you very much, Joyce. And thank you very much. Thank you for tuning in to High Vibes and a Mic. Until next time, keep learning, growing, and exploring. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.